Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 167 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. We'll begin with a quick spoiler-free review of Free Guy, talk about Venom 2 getting delayed again, some of the problems going on over at Marvel, and then we'll move over into some tech news with an update to the big crypto hack of last week, T-Mobile gets hacked again, some deepfake news, and then a few space stories. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and episode 167. We got a pretty full week this week, and you got to see a movie. I think you put in the Nerd Cantina group going into it with low expectations for free guy there. How did it hold up?
Yeah, I apologize to any of the readers because I really didn't mean to write one on this, but I am currently moving into a new house and I have no fucking time to do any kind of extracurricular activities other than record this episode. So I apologize, but I definitely want to give my thoughts on the podcast just because I went in with low expectations. You know, video game movies don't have a good history of you know, kind of connecting to that video game audience. And I really actually thoroughly enjoyed this movie. Like, you expect it to just be some shit together, put together story. Like they came into a board meeting and said, all right, NPC becomes a player in the game. Now, right around that, you know, which could have been the pitch meeting to begin with. But they actually did write a really decent story to go along with that concept. It wasn't just kind of like we have 8 scenes and some ideas we want and have some writers fill in the filler. Like, it was actually a pretty well-planned, thought-out story that actually made sense when you watch the whole thing. And you're like, okay, yeah, no, I'll buy it. You know, I'm here for it. And Ryan Reynolds brings his same kind of like comedic style to it. All the supporting actors in the movie did really well, except for I really didn't enjoy Taika, to tell you the truth. Out of all the people in the film, I thought his character was a little generic and a little overdone, to whereas everybody else kind of really sold it and fell right into the movie. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It did touch on a lot of like funny different things, a lot of good Easter eggs for video game players, you know, just inside jokes if you're a gamer. Touched on simulation theory at times, touched on a lot of different subjects. And man, if you're looking for an enjoyable movie, if you're a Ryan Reynolds fan, if there's anything about this movie that you thought may get you to go to the theater, I'm telling you, go see it. It was actually pretty enjoyable. I'd have gave it 4 out of 5 for sure.
Yeah, I think it's like one of the first movies that overperformed. I think it overperformed in the box office compared to what they thought it would do. And then you get, I think, news that they're already talking about it getting picked up for a sequel.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds already said that Disney approached him for part 2.
Yeah, so obviously it's done well. I'll wait and let that 45-day theatrical window for it to disappear and hit Disney Plus in 45 days, and then I'll take a look.
Yeah,
at it.
I'm at this point, anytime I say go see this movie, I'm definitely not talking to you, and I'm talking to people with expendable money or my fellow A-listers that have free movies every month that you're just looking for something worth getting off your couch for. So this was definitely one of those for all those people that fall into those bubbles.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine. Go enjoy the movie. It looks, I actually, you said that you had low expectations for it going into it. I actually kind of had pretty solid expectations, expecting it to be a fairly entertaining movie beforehand.
I figured I'd get a couple good chuckles at some of the video game stuff, and I knew that there would be a lot of like Easter eggs and inside jokes, but I really did not expect there to be a well-written story and plot to go along with the movie. That actually did surprise me a little bit. So it was a pleasant surprise when it all came down to it. Like I said, the only thing that didn't sit well with me was Taika's character. It just didn't seem as genuine as everybody else's character and kind of didn't fit well within the movie. I saw what he was trying to do, but it just didn't work for me.
Yeah. Well, we can go from from a success there to another movie that, you know, I think there's a lot riding on this movie. So Venom 2, we get news that it is delayed once again. They're setting this back again. Now it was supposed to be a September release coming out next month. They've now pushed it back again to October. I guess October 15th for some reason works better for them than September 24th.
Yeah, at this point, they didn't really give any reasoning. Like, is this variant caused? Is this, like, these movies have been done. You know what I mean? Like, we're still releasing movies that were done during COVID. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I know this movie's in the can. Did they do some focus groups and they got some bad feedback? Because...
The article that I read talked about focus groups and talked about how some national research group stated that 67% of moviegoers were very or somewhat comfortable with going to a movie theater, which is down like 3% from last week and 14% from a month ago. So the confidence of going to a theater is going down.
So maybe
they're anticipating
the movie,
it's going to get even worse.
Let's bump the movie to flu season then, you fucking dummies.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
So yeah, I don't get bumping it back just a couple weeks. I don't think that actually helps your case here. But they bump it back to October 15th. So maybe that helps Sony get some separation from some other movies and it gives them a better chance to have some kind of breakout performance for this movie. You know, I think they have a lot riding on it in the sense that, you know, the first one overperformed by a lot. I think it did like $850 million in the box office for the first Venom that really was not a very good movie.
It was trash. I wrote a horrible review for that movie. It was trash. Yeah,
but it did very well in the box office. So then I think they were really hoping to, you know, hey, build upon that success. And there's zero chance of that in the COVID environment. And yeah, I don't know. They're just scrambling to do what they can with this.
Yeah, I don't see the benefit to this. If anything, I would have pushed the movie up while it's still summer out and you know, cold and flu season isn't underway. Maybe they think that once the summer's over, people are going to stay in their house more. So maybe COVID numbers will go down and people will be, you know, but at this point you're either comfortable going in public or you're not, right? Like, I don't know if 3 weeks is going to get that many people to change their mind. If you weren't going to go before, you're not going to go then. And if you were already planning on going, I don't think, you know, anything's going to stop you at this point. I think everybody's kind of concrete in their thoughts on this virus now, and we should all just act accordingly.
Yeah. But I think everybody finding their comfort levels and acting accordingly is still pretty damning for the theater industry. People right now are just acting in a way that they don't want to go to the theaters. They don't want to go do these movies at any kind of massive scale. You know, people have to change their benchmarks on what they consider success. And I guess Venom is not projected to hit that benchmark. And they're willing to delay it one more time. Maybe two more times. Maybe we'll talk about it again next week. Who knows? So this is the third delay already. What's another one?
Yeah, no big deal.
But we can roll from the Sony side of Marvel to the actual MCU. And we got Kevin Feige starting to weigh in and on this controversy that's kind of blown up. We've got a couple controversies going on within the MCU. We talked a couple weeks ago about the Scarlett Johansson lawsuit and her being upset about the money that she lost out on as far as kind of her portion of the, you know, box office ticket sales that she had worked into her contract. And then obviously box office, she didn't do very well because they did the simultaneous release. That lawsuit's still going. You know, Kevin Feige kind of weighs in a very sheepish way of just saying, well, I hope we all come, or everybody finds like an amicable solution. Yeah. Well, of course you do, Kevin.
And what's really messed up is they cut Emma Stone a nice check, which makes it seem like, hey, we got all the films we need Scarlett Johansson for. We're not doing any more Black Widow. She's dead in the universe. We're not going to do any more prequels. So we don't need you anymore. We're not going to pay you. But Emma Stone is already set to do a second Cruella, is just starting her Disney career. So they gave her a little bit of hush money, which is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, in the end, I think both sides have we talked about this before already, right? Like both sides have a reason to work this. Like Disney absolutely needed to just salvage what they could, move the movie forward. maybe they didn't have to do the simultaneous release. But if they thought that was the best way to grab money and grab the hype, then sure, make business decisions.
Well, I don't think it helps, their court case by paying Emma Stone and not Scarlett, because she's going to go into the theater and say, but
we don't know that they didn't offer Scarlett her own hush money and she said, nope, not gonna take it. I this was my last movie with you guys, and I'm gonna fight for every.
From our last discussion in the articles that we saw, they really like Scarlett did everything to say, try to remedy it, and Disney was playing hardball from everything we've read up until this point. You know, I honestly think it's looking at one actress and saying we already squeezed all the juice out of this fruit, and looking at the other actress and saying, well, we still need this one, and when it goes to court, I really don't think it's going to look good in Disney's favor that you paid off one and stuck it to the other. Because it's going to be hard to make an argument that they shouldn't have paid Scarlett then, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's impossible to know what's in their contract structures and what Scarlett did get paid. You know, Disney did say that they gave her a portion of the box office and a portion of the premium access sales. So they adjusted it based off of the fact that, you know, the initial launch was at both theaters and Disney Plus Access. And maybe they felt that was adequate compensation based off the terms of their contract. Hard to tell. I'm sure once the court case is out, there's going to be plenty of
articles written about it. Yeah, it's going to be for a judge to figure out at this point.
And yeah, exactly. So interesting to see where that goes. And then we get some controversy coming along.
Yeah, I got some thoughts on this.
And I know you do. It's why it's here. It's why it's on the outline. And so we've got, the star Simu Liu is upset and has really taken to like Twitter about his anger about what's the CEO? Bob Chapek. He referred to Shang-Chi as an interesting experiment in a tweet talking about the movie being an interesting experiment that was taken by Simu Liu as saying that like an Asian dominated, Asian led movie. Yeah,
we are not an experiment. It's not an interesting experiment. I am not an experiment. Like,
yeah, I think trying to find the actual tweet here that, yeah, he says, we are not an experiment. We are the underdog, the underestimated. We are the ceiling breakers. We are the celebration of culture and joy that will preserve after an embattled year. We are the surprise. I'm fired the fuck up to make history on September 3rd. Join us. So that's what, you know, Liu responds and I'll let you go. I know you're bottled up here. Hit it.
Well, this is another case of someone trying to make a story out of nothing. When he was talking about it being an experiment, he was talking about it being this is one that we're not going to release on Disney Plus. We're going to let it go to the theaters and see how it does. Had nothing to do with Asian people, had nothing to do with culture, had nothing to do with other than the fact that previously we felt the need to release all our movies on Disney Plus to get to the most eyeballs. And we feel we're moving past that point to where we can go straight to theater. So this is kind of our first experiment of not releasing it on Disney Plus. And dude had to take it all personal and make it about this Asian controversy because God forbid anything doesn't have to do with identity anymore. You have to take everything internally and make it about you and about all kinds of shit that he's projecting his own bullshit on the CEO of Disney. And I mean, it's really easy to pick on a CEO of a mega $1 billion fucking corporation, but dude wasn't talking like about that. He was just making a statement to shareholders about projections of the success of the movie that had nothing to do with culture or race or heritage, had to do with the timing of the release and how they were releasing it. And dude's trying to make, he's trying to be all woke on Twitter. And personally, I'm like, yeah, fuck that dude. I'll still go see the movie because I want to see. It looks good. And
it looks
I'm
good.
I'm part of the MCU and I'm all here for it. But as far as this actor's opinion goes, eat a dick, bro. Shut up.
Yeah, no, I don't know if he could be any more sensitive at this point to this environment. Like,
I'm glad we see eye to eye on this. I'm glad.
I just don't see a way. And I've seen a lot of people on like the internet actually, you know, in support of him, and talking about how Bob Chapek was, you know, clearly this is what he meant. It's like, really? You really think
clearly? It's clearly what he meant. Like,
you think that any CEO is this stupid to make such a like an absolutely terrible, like, overtly racist statement like that? And, like, this is the same company and stuff that just, like, did kind of do an interesting experiment in an Asian-led movie with, like, Mulan, where they deviated from, like, the animated kind of cheesy, funny thing, and they tried to do it more as, like, an actual
cultural, you know, Chinese
Kung
movie.
Fu, yeah. Cultural, like, that was the interesting
thing.
They just came out with
Raya, the Asian-led animated movie. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they are, you know, let's be real. They're just trying to really clench on to that billion person Chinese market. I don't think really have any investment in the Asian community. I'm not going to go that far, but they're not trying to burn that fucking bridge. I just like this is the problem with a lot of society now, is that you look for these things. And if you want to take sentences out of context and twist it to fit your narrative and whatever you want to be offended by, you can do that now. But there's, you have to take it as a whole. Like, this dude was in a board meeting talking about streaming and theatrical releases. He was not talking about them. You know, like, if they came out when Black Panther came out before the pandemic and before streaming releases, was like, you know, this is kind of an experimental movie. All right. You'd be a little mad. I see that. You know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah. No, this is just, he was talking about a movie that happens to have a mainly Asian, you know, cast, and they're testing the waters of not going streaming. So they're using the film as an experiment, not your fucking culture, not your race, the fucking film.
Yeah, but going back to the reason why we talked about this, was, you know, an article about Kevin Feige. At least Kevin Feige did weigh in, and he weighed in a way that wasn't as sheepish as he approached the Scarlett Johansson issue. And he just said that, you know, he thinks, in that particular tweet, that he thinks that it was clearly a misunderstanding, that it was not the intention, that any Kevin Feige continues and says that the proof is in the movie itself. And we swing for the fences, as we always do. The amount of creative energy and the budget, there was no expense spared to bring this origin story to the screen. Like, yeah, he's saying, like, if we didn't take, like, this wasn't some cheap experimental garbage thing. Like, this is a damn MCU movie.
I'm almost frustrated at the fact that he said it's like a misunderstanding. Like, a misunderstanding involves, like, maybe two people not seeing eye to eye on, like, this is past a misunderstanding. This is you blatantly trying to twist someone's words, because I'm sure, you know, we've had the big Stop Asian Hate movement going for a while now. And I think dude was just looking to jump on that train to hype up his movie, because, you know, if this movie doesn't do good, maybe they don't continue with the Shang-Chi franchise and bring it into the MCU. So of course he's looking for all eyes on me. Like, I think this is so disingenuous and just so shitty, and it feels Smollett to me.
Oh, well, I'll let that punctuate this story, and we can just give a quick update to an old story. We talked a couple weeks ago about the ROM universe guy who was selling, you know, the old Nintendo ROMs online, who probably made thousands of dollars, was found guilty to pay $2.1 million to Nintendo, which is never going to get paid.
No.
But in a great kick in the junk now, the court officially ruled to completely shut down his website, completely shut down anything that he had, and that he has to destroy all files, all ROMs, all Nintendo logos or anything that he has saved. He has to completely destroy everything. And he has until tomorrow to do so. And then he has to sign an affidavit by enforceable by perjury laws that he has nothing that could possibly be Nintendo's from this point on.
Yeah. Insert Mario death sound effect.
Boop, 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 yeah.
Boop, 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 boop. You know, you can't feel bad for the dude.
I don't feel bad for him.
You know, like you play with fire, you're gonna get burned. You know, like, Nintendo ain't fucking around with their properties, man. Like, that's the thing they got. That's the one thing they'll hold on to. They can make as many shitty consoles as they want. As long as they own Zelda and Mario, they're going to be all right. So don't you don't you fuck with those. Like, they going to get you. They going to get you.
Yeah, no, it's... I'm actually surprised that wasn't a part of like the initial ruling, that it took months longer to make that, because the initial ruling was in May, and the fact that it took until August to have him delete and take down his website is kind of interesting in itself. But either way, if you're going to do that kind of stuff, you might want to do it from like Russia or something. Like, don't have kind of those kind of websites here in the United States.
And like, do you think there's ever going to be a point where video games or video game characters or something along those lines hit like public domain, like a lot of these old, you know, like 100 years from now, are you still gonna have to like cough up for Mario? Like, is there, there's plenty of Disney characters and plenty of, you know, characters throughout that everybody knows that are just public domain now. Like, is there ever gonna hit a point where any of this shit just becomes accessible to the general public? Like, I don't know, like, because books hit public domain, movies, like these, a lot of these things enter public domain after I think 100 years or a certain amount of time. Like,
I thought as long as they're still using it or creating
it's really weird. I want to say we talked to Doctor about this, where he said that as long as you use the property or update it or do something with it.
Which is why Disney's doing the live action stuff and everything else. Like, no, they're still using these characters. They're still using all of their
property. That's why you'll get a shitty Mario Golf game or something like every couple of years, just because as long as they produce like a new game with him, I think they'll retain the rights. But I don't know, man. Like, it just seems like some of this shit is going to get so old after time that it's just going to feel weird to go after guys like this. You know, like, if my great grandkids want to play Mario, like, I really, you know, cause it's like, you can find Oregon Trail damn near anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's games from my childhood that are basically just public domain. You just find a web browser and you fucking play those 8-bit pieces of junk. You know, like, I just don't know if video games will ever hit that same kind of thing that a lot of music and books and movies and stuff do. You know, like, I don't know. I'm curious.
Yeah. I don't know where it goes either, but let's move. Let's keep this train moving here out into a little bit of tech time now. And let's start with the interesting story that we had last week with the $600 million being stolen from the Polygon crypto network. Ended up being a bunch of Ethereum and I can't remember one of the stable coins and ultimately the largest crypto hack that's ever happened. And what we started to see after our episode released last week is that some of that money started getting returned. And then it gets interesting from there. So some of the money starts to get returned. And then the Polygon CEO and representatives of Polygon are communicating with this guy online, openly referring to him as like Mr. White Hat and continuing to keep some kind of dialogue going. Most of the money is returned. I think at this point in time, only like $30 million has not been returned at all. But he has $200 million locked away in a kind of crypto wallet that he has not given the private key over to Polygon yet. For what reason? I don't know. Nobody seems to know. He just says that they're not ready yet. And who knows what that means.
Yeah.
But they're still holding back to $200 million at this point. And then in even greater twist is you get them offering him a $500,000, Polygon offers him $100,000 bounty for finding the bug bounty, for finding the issue. And then they also offered him the position of chief security advisor within Polygon. So he can take $500,000 and become the chief security advisor, because as he's stated that he's very concerned about the fact that this hack was executable, and he's actually encouraged other people to go and try to hack them as well, to prove that they haven't corrected their issues yet.
Yeah, it's really hard to like claim you're the good guy after you steal $600 million. Like, you could have went in and stole a dollar just to prove that you could do it and let people know there was this back door. And, you know, like you could have just went in and like literally stole a buck, wrote an email and said, I hacked your system, I have your dollar, like, you need to fix this. But no, he went in, took $600 million, sat on it, gave a bunch back, sitting on another $200 million. So it's like Like, you don't act like.
And I think there's still 33 million unaccounted for. Like 33 million, he hasn't given back at all.
So it's like, you know, and then they're like, okay, look, buddy, we won't press charges. We're gonna give you a $500,000 for finding it, and then we're gonna give you a job to make sure that none of this shit happens again. So, like, if you were truly like doing a public service by trying to make sure everybody's crypto is safe, like, how do you not just instantly be like, yep, that was my goal. This is why I did it. Here's all your money back. Yeah. And I'll take my job and my $500,000. That's legal money that I can spend. Actually, I'm kind of like, fuck this dude too. Like, fuck him. I hope that they have some like wording in his contract that eventually gets him popped for this shit.
Yeah. They've said that they have no intention on pursuing legal action against Mr. White Hat.
Yeah, but isn't this one of those cases that the FBI can press charges whether they give a fuck or not?
I mean, realistically, it wasn't $600 million of Polygons. Like, it was other people's crypto wallets.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
so, yeah.
You know, if you, like, there's plenty of things that a regular person can do to where the state can press charges. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody could get hurt and everybody's like, no, we're good. Dude just made a mistake. And the state's like, nah, fuck him. He's got to pay. The state is pressing charges. So, like, how does the Fed not, like, this dude, if you steal over $10,000, it's a felony. This dude stole $600 million and robbed hundreds of people. Like, how do you not go after this dude no matter what?
Well, you got to find him first. You got to find out who he is, what country he's in. You know, there's zero guarantee that he's in the United States, that he falls under our laws or whatever else. So it's not that easy, I'm sure. So as far as Polygon's concerned, it's probably just better for them if they just pretend like they really appreciate this guy and his effort. And hey, why don't you give us our money back and we'll come up with another agreement.
It's the box and a stick method. Like, hey, we got this nice job over here and $500,000. Why don't you walk on this X right quick and stand still?
Yeah. So ultimately, you know, I'm sure there'll probably be one or two more updates from us on this story as it goes, because it's just odd and interesting. And I'm curious to see where this all settles out when that $200 or $200 million gets released.
Yeah, I hope it ends up with Mr. Whitehead Russian does. Nerd dropping the soap.
Well, and then, you know, we can talk about the big T-Mobile hack that was announced this week, talking about 100 million accounts were hacked by T-Mobile. That included people's social security numbers, driver's license numbers, birthdays, all of that. The hacker shared some of the data with T-Mobile. So T-Mobile went and verified it and confirmed, like, yep, that is accurate information.
That's our shit. That's shit.
Those are our clients, and that definitely.
You shouldn't have that info.
Definitely accurate. And this individual is asking for $277,000, 6 bitcoins for the data. And I'm thinking, that seems cheap. Like I say, like, that's a no-brainer payout, I think, in my world.
It feels like all these hackers are just trying to find that sweet spot of money where they can get away with it and no one will care. It's like, because that is just such a random number. Like, well, hackers steal $600 million. It's like, oh, no, we got to get you. And it's like, oh, fuck, too much. And then this guy's just like, could a brother get six bitcoins?
Six bitcoins?
You know, I'm waiting for a hacker just to steal a bunch of shit and look at him and go, I'm going to need 350. I'm gonna need 350.
Yeah, so this is a large hack. T-Mobile's had a bad run of data breaches and hacks over the last couple of years. This definitely being the largest one of the bunch. 100 million total customers, and you know, at the time that we're recording this, I haven't seen any articles that said that T-Mobile paid it, or they intended to pay it, or that they've, you know, got the information back or whatever else. So it appears that this person is just going to sell the information out on the interwebs, on the black market of the interwebs, because that's what he's threatened to do. If T-Mobile's not going to pay, somebody will.
I mean, at this point, can't we all just assume that our information's out on the dark web somewhere? Like,
yeah,
with the Targets getting hacked, the T-Mobile's getting hacked, like, all these major corporations have gotten hacked at one point. I'm pretty sure my personal info and, you know, shit is on the dark web somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, I think at this point in the world, you just have to assume that none of your data and info is safe. Like,
yeah, the things that I would be more concerned about. So I have T-Mobile, and
Yeah, for sure.
And I think the things I would be more concerned about is, yeah, I'm confident my social security number is easy to find on the internet, and I'm confident of that. What I think the T-Mobile one that could be interesting, and I haven't looked into whether I'm just being kind of a skeptic or there actually is a reason to be technologically worried, is them like gaining the IMEI numbers for all the cell phones that are on these plans and stuff like that. And what can they do by like cloning SIM cards or being able to intercept text messages or something of that nature by not only having our personal information, but also having our unique cell phone identifiers and all that stuff. That's what's kind of interesting to me is there an exploit there?
So the thing that I'm more worried about is the dozens of text messages I get every week from some random that sends it to like 30 people in a group text that just says, "Am's horny for your body. Click link to see nudes." Or, you know, you have your Amazon package is waiting at the warehouse and will be destroyed in 10 days if you do not click this link. Like, I am so sick and fucking tired of getting those goddamn text messages. Like, and this has got to be where they come from, right? Like, either this or some, you know, survey you had to fill out for somebody or something. But that's basically what I'm mostly worried about is them hacking these numbers, getting phone numbers, and then just plugging these phone numbers into, you know, MILF bots looking for me to click some link because they think I'm that thirsty.
Yeah. Not today. Maybe tomorrow.
I mean, our good friend Sean posted that that bot conversation he had. Like, and it's just amazing. Like, you know what I mean? They have to get the numbers from somewhere, either that or they just have a random number generator that just puts in, you know, 10 numbers area code and 7 numbers randomly, and they just send it out. Like, I don't know, but I'm just getting so sick and tired of all this, the bullshit that comes along with having to have a digital life, that it's just, it makes you want to disconnect. Give me a rotary phone. Just give me the rotary phone. I'm good.
Well, before we jump out of the hacking news and everything else, just, I'm going to ask you, did you see the John Oliver or whatever?
I was going to say that I watched it on YouTube. Yeah, I thought I was going to say that, you know, obviously these things are becoming so prevalent that we're not the only ones constantly banging the ransomware and hacker stories, that John Oliver actually did a big ransomware story and talked about stories we talked about weeks ago.
Pretty much talked about all the stories that we've talked about. he even went with some of the deep cuts, like the Dick Chastity belt that we talked about 6 months ago getting hacked. he went into our deep cuts here. Yeah, he definitely talked in pretty good depth about some of the challenges with ransomware. I always hate when I get it that Bitcoin is used definitely to facilitate ransomware. Just as a crypto fan, I hate that association.
You know what else has been used to facilitate
always
crime?
Tied to it.
Cash. Kohlhart fucking cash. Okay, folks.
Yeah.
Like, there's like,
but Kohlhart cash isn't enabling. It's a legitimate concern because it's not enabling ransomware from foreign countries and stuff like that. Like, there is no exchange of cash. So,
but there's a trade off, right? Because if you get paid in Bitcoin, it's 100% completely traceable. Like I would take my chance.
I would take my chances
with a bag of cash getting dropped off in a parking lot over than having to get, you know, Bitcoin sent to a key and having to get my money from that somehow. Give me the bag of cash with one of them paintball exploding things inside. I'll fuck with that over some government sending me a bunch of fucking Bitcoin that I know the minute I touch it is being traced 1,000 goddamn ways.
Yeah. Not to go down the crypto way, I figured to bring it up if you wanted to, like, that ransomware segments on YouTube or whatever else. So anybody who wants to go see it, go watch it. It's entertaining.
Or you can scroll through 30 of our past shows.
I was gonna say you can get some stories that we have talked about in pretty good depth.
Does this give us better street cred?
Nonetheless.
Is it
no
is no
no not,
not
at, all.
At all no we get no credit for being on the forefront of this at all. Okay, thanks.
And in fact, I feel that I was out scooped by John Oliver because we talked about the chastity belt, but I didn't know about the butt plugs. So,
no, yeah, I mean, we can only do so much here, you know. Like, we can only do so much. Sometimes things slip through the cracks, and we only have an hour a week, so something's got to go.
All right, but now let's move out of some hacking. We got kind of a favorite topic on here for deepfakes and deepfake porn. There's a new tool that's been written about by Huffington Post specifically this week, but a lot of people have picked up. Huffington Post did kind of an initial story that actually temporarily got the website shut down when they first released the article. The website apparently is back up. I don't know what the website is. It doesn't say it anywhere. None of you creeps should go looking for it either. but apparently there's a deepfake tool, an app, a website, or whatever else. You could sideload this app onto your phone that allows you to digitally undress women through, it uses deepfake technology. All you have to do is just put up an image of whoever you want to get a good estimation of what they look like naked. And then it uses the deepfakes to match some other nude images, nude bodies, or whatever else, to give a pretty passable, from like everything it said, it's like, they look pretty legitimate.
Do we really need, really need an AI to do what men have been doing in their heads for eternity now? Like,
apparently, yeah. Like, I guess it's got enough of a need. Some people lack imagination.
Like, do we really need to outsource the imagining what a girl's nipples look like to a goddamn AI? Like, can we just at least keep some things in the human realm and just let it be?
I wish this wasn't a thing, but yeah, no, it's not the case. So apparently it's gained a lot of popularity over this last year. They like cited some people that they found in different like groups that were talking about and sharing the website on in like Facebook groups and stuff like that, and talking about it and talking about the how realistic it is. And apparently they're incredibly passable. Like it's pretty realistic.
I mean, it's just it's a more advanced version of cropping, Sarah Michelle Gellar's head,
somebody's head on
a naked body. Because I would love to see the algorithm that figures out whether she's got silver dollars or dimes. Like, that's
that's what I'm interested in.
Wrote that algorithm, and how does it know, bro? Okay, because we all have our methods of assumptions. I want to know who wrote the algorithm, and what do you think? What inside knowledge do you think you got? this is just nerds, dirty nerds being dirty nerds, and taking basically the fun of having an imagination and keeping it private, because my thoughts are my thoughts and I don't need to share them with the world. Like, the minute you do this, like, now, like, you just crossed a horrible line. Like, we as men, we are savage enough, with our reptilian brains, that we really don't need to be physically manifesting what goes on in our brains. We really don't.
No, yeah, we're gross. We should just keep it where it is.
Yeah.
Private, hidden for nobody else to see.
Just throw it in the spank bank, lock it away, and go about your day in a normal society. We don't need this, guys.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show, that while deepfakes are cool for the movies, they're interesting to do in an entertainment world, they have some like actual interesting potential. In the end, it's going to get misused. It's going to get misused for porn 95 times out of 100, right?
Like, seeing an incredibly jacked Ryan Reynolds in Free Guy is not worth the countless sisters and moms that are going to be deepfaked on this internet tool. Like, it shouldn't have to be a trade-off, Like, can we draw a line in the sand as society? Can we please?
Apparently not. So that's where we're at with that. I listened to a different podcast this week, and they were talking about deepfakes, and they brought on some what they called deepfake experts, and they were all idiots, right? Like, nobody knew what they were talking about, and like, they were speculating.
You mean to tell
about,
me we
like,
had a better deepfake expert on than
100%, 100%. Like, I actually had to stop listening to it. I couldn't finish because I was like, why? I'm wasting my time. Like, I wanted to actually learn more about deepfakes and listening to these experts, and they were talking about like in a hypothetical situation about like if this is going to be used for porn, and they're like, oh yeah, it absolutely could be. It's like,
could be,
bitch. Is like, it's been for years well documented that 96% of all deepfakes found on the internet are used in porn. Yeah, like, and if you don't know that, stop calling yourself an expert. Don't go on anything ever calling yourself an expert in deepfake.
Like, just for our listeners that don't know, we did a Cantina conversation with a lawyer that specializes in
with that deepfakes. Adam Dodge
and you know, so if you're interested in this story and you are looking for experts like Ken, you can go back to ours, because obviously we got a little bit more information on deepfakes than some of our fellow other podcasters. But this is a really big problem, because as it goes fine, you know, like I've made a few deepfake your mom jokes, and you know they are funny. I do laugh at them, but at the same time, I got daughters, man. I will fucking kill you. I will find you and I will kill you. I will I will go Taken on their route, which has full Liam Neeson. Like, yeah, I feel horrible with the state of like this kind of shit, because you just never want to see it happen. I mean, and we also did the story on the cheerleader's mom deep faking the head cheerleaders, yeah, so the cheerleader can get a, you know, like these tools are just, I don't need to see a young Robert De Niro in a movie. You know, I enjoyed Luke Skywalker at the end of Mandalorian. I didn't need it though. You know what I'm saying? Like if I gotta say no Luke Skywalker to make sure that my daughters, your sisters don't get deep faked in some horrific German Bukkake porn. I'm fine with that. I could deal without Luke. I will take one for the team, man.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's leave this topic here. Going to our final little segment here. We got a couple things here in space news, and first one being like the headline of the article is it's a great question. And the headline of the first article here is, what the hell is going on with Boeing Starliner?
And we've been talking about that one. We still don't know.
Yeah. We talked about that, you know, when they failed last year to link up with the International Space Station, just complete catastrophic failure on an unmanned mission. Took them a year and a half to recover from that. They get out to the launch pad, get ready to launch, and then the Russian cosmonauts knock the ISS slightly off of its trajectory when they had a kind of misfire of their boosters while they were attached to the ISS. So that caused Starliner to delay by a couple days. And then Starliner goes to launch and they have to shut it down on launch because it's like 13 of their booster engines, of their, like the small booster engines that are used to make small corrections and navigate when in orbit. Like 13 other valves completely inoperable, just did not function at all. And they've now brought it back in the hangar, have been working on it for like greater than a week, and they've still only been able to get like access to, I think it was 7 of the 13. They still have some of these valves they have no actual control to through their computers, through the systems to control these valves. It's like, how is that about to go in space?
Yeah.
How did you get that close to putting it in space?
Like if it wasn't for a rambunctious Russian, y'all was gonna go. You know what I mean? Like if it wasn't for some Russian veering the goddamn space station off course, y'all was about to go in outer space. Like, I don't know how you should feel about that.
I mean, at least they're still doing unmanned tests. Can you imagine if you were like the astronaut that was about to go out on this thing? You know, if they were as capable as what, you know, SpaceX is, and they've already been sending manned missions. Like this is, you
I don't know, those tests, those test pilots are a different breed. Like in the movies, they make it all seem like they get up in the morning, they kiss their kids and wife goodbye, and knowing that I might not ever come home, and they go in these jets, and especially like the old ones, you know, from like the 50s when they were testing all these crazy ass jets, and they were doing some like altruistic thing. But I have to believe that dude is less common than the just like cocaine bender alcoholic son of a bitch that just doesn't care about living and will jump in a goddamn rocket for any goddamn reason. Like I just have to believe, like, yeah, the dude that was gonna get in there, he don't give a shit. He don't give a shit about them valves. I'm trying to get my cheeks clapped in these motherfucking G-forces.
Oh. Maybe that's how somebody actually gets in the Starliner in the future. But as of right now, they don't even have an estimation on when they're going to be ready, when they're going to fly. At this point in time, you just got to think, if you're Boeing, just shut it down. Just admit defeat. SpaceX has got you. You're done.
That fucking Starliner first crew is living life like the dudes in the movie Armageddon right before they go to the meteor. Like this is how they live every day right at this point. We just go about our days right now.
But and then we move on some to just a little bit of talk about landing on the moon. And, you know, we were targeting, NASA was targeting 2024. You know, that Elon's still prepping the Starship and trying to get that ready for launch by 2024. So that way that can potentially be the lander for the moon missions in 2024. And then it comes out that due to the spacesuit development issues, 2024 is no longer feasible. It can't happen.
This doesn't make any sense to me.
NASA's inability to come with a spacesuit.
This doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, I get it. All right. We can't get the spacesuits ready in time for whatever reason. That really doesn't make sense to me either, but I really don't want to hear anybody's excuse on why it's so hard to make this spacesuit. We can't just use the old one? Like we've been to the moon. We did this, right? We did this a long time ago. Like, can't we just dust off some old spacesuits and send the motherfuckers up there? Like, it's not like we're inventing the spacesuit for the first time. Like, we have these. People have landed on the moon. They walked on the moon. MTV made a fucking logo out of it. Okay? Just use the old ones. Let's keep the train running. Like, when the new ones are ready, we'll do the next mission with the new ones. Until then, use version 2.0, 3.0, whatever the fuck we're on.
Nope, not an option.
Because that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if you
sense.
Remember, but the last one wasn't gender neutral. They couldn't fit women.
That's right. I remember that.
That was a legitimate story.
That was a legitimate story.
That's one issue.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's other like actual scientific reasons why it's probably a bad idea to go with the old ones. But ultimately, like, this is just a pretty big failure in the sense that, like, originally to make these spacesuits, the budget was $200 million to develop the spacesuit. Mind you, they've been doing this for 14 years, I think, this program to develop the new spacesuit. The $200 billion or $200 million is what they've had. They are now well over $1 billion in developing the spacesuit and are now saying, like, there is no chance they're getting it done before 2025.
How is that a fucking thing, man? And how is that a thing? It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. Like, the amount of money and time to build something to where that is in, like, again, we've done this. We've done this, guys. Like, how has it taken you this long and that much money and you still just, like, don't have shit? We ain't got shit. Sorry. Well, what happened to all that money? I don't know. Like, we tried this, we tried that, didn't work, and this isn't good enough. This one makes you have camel toe, and we can't rock with these. Sorry. We can't do it. Like, I don't fucking get it, man. I don't fucking get it.
Me neither, but... They're saying best case scenario, they can have it ready by like April 2025, which means that they can't go to the moon anytime soon because it not being ready till April 2025 means that the astronauts can't even train with it and practice with it or do any of that stuff until 2025, which is probably a year, 2 years down the road beyond that. That then they can fly.
This is like the dumbest reason to not go to the moon.
This is the dumbest
fucking reason to not go to the moon.
This is why China's going to beat us because they're going to go out there with just like regular like hazmat
for
suits.
Sure. They're going to put a dude with a snorkel on and they're not going to give a fuck.
Just a heated blanket, yeah, and the scuba suit, and they're going to call it good. So,
you know, like, and it's so funny because you see all these movies with these nice spacesuits on, and you're just like, oh yeah, we got to have something like that in the chamber, right? Like, you know, the movie The Martian of Matt Damon. Like, you're just like, oh yeah, that's probably something we for sure have going on right now. It's like, no, we actually we might take a note from them. Like, how'd y'all get to do that? I just this is so unbelievably stupid from like the smartest people in our society. Like, it is the dumbest problem produced by the smartest of us. It is unbelievably frustrating.
Yeah. Well, I think the one person celebrating might be Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Because the last story we got is Jeff Bezos is suing NASA and continuing to like really bring about this fight to win the moon lander contract and take it away from SpaceX. And well, now he's got more time to do so because they're not going to the moon anytime soon. So now he's got way more time to take on these legal cases, to sue NASA, to get them to open up consideration and take away the awarding of the moon landing contract from SpaceX and reopen it back and let Blue Origin go ahead and compete again.
Yeah, I don't know if Elon's going to let that fly. I see Elon creating his own spacesuit really fast. like if Bezos is putting pressure on him and he sees a problem like this, I'm willing to bet he's just gonna be like, fuck it, I'll do it myself. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's unsure exactly what it is that they're suing them over, other than the fact that they think it was an unlawful awarding of the contract to Elon. Yeah, I'm seeing a trend here.
I wonder if this is Bezos or just like his team of lawyers that he pays to make sure that like shit like this doesn't go down. You know, like losing the contract was a money thing, shareholders, blah, 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 blah. So is this just a team full of lawyers looking out for shareholders in Bezos's best interest, or is this actually a bald dick spaceship flying in motherfucker being a giant goddamn baby about some shit? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I just think he hates losing, right? This is
that's
the same
what I mean. Like, yeah, that's what I mean.
With the Jedi contract and having them have to reopen the Jedi contract.
I just don't know if it's actually him hating losing or him having $5 million a month in retainers for lawyers and what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? like I pay you people, figure it out.
Go sue
like,
somebody. Sue the government.
Yeah, does he actually care, or does he just have so many lawyers on retainer that aren't doing anything that he's just like, fucking sue someone for more money, like earn your shit, you fucking suits. Like, I don't know which one's more likely. Most likely he looks like a baby bitch, so he might be Mr. Petty. Like, I definitely could see that, but at the same time I could also see a bunch of dudes in some really expensive suits in a room going like, we need to sue somebody or else he's gonna fire a handful of us because he doesn't need us.
Yeah, I don't foresee this working out for him. Like, NASA's come out and said that they don't see any chance that the Blue Moon proposal or Blue Origin proposal can get low enough. Like, SpaceX's proposal was much cheaper than the one that Blue Origin had. So I don't see how this kind of opens
up. Blue Origin has yet to go to outer
space.
Like, they technically...
You're not giving them credit for the last one?
NASA didn't give them wings. Like, if NASA said they didn't, then I don't think I'm in a position to say they did.
No. Well, I think that's
well, wait,
it.
Hold on. Before we wrap up, how do you not put the robot video on the outline that I sent you today?
Oh, we can finish robots. I forgot about...
You didn't watch that Boston Dynamics video I sent you today?
I did watch the video. And it's a very well choreographed video of some impressive robots doing some flips, some jumps, some parkour. Yeah.
It's a little scary at this point. Like, because now, remember a few years ago where we did the stories where people were making the fake Boston Dynamics videos? Yeah. I had to check like 3 times to make sure it wasn't one of those. I was like, did Boston Dynamics really put this out, or is this one of those other ones where it's just a dude in a green suit doing some shit and they put the robot on him? Like, but no, this is robots doing like Ninja Warrior type shit. Like, that, I was amazed at how
the
fluid they were.
And the way they can move is impressive. I'm pretty sure, though, that was like a choreographed, like scripted route through the thing.
100%.
Like, so I'll be more impressed when it's kind of just like go from point A to point B and they just naturally find the most efficient way of jumping over, climbing up, you know, flipping off of these things. But it's still impressive they were able to even program such fluid movement, dynamic movement, jumping, crawling, hopping, flipping, doing all that stuff, and legitimately doing parkour on a course. So it is
man,
incredibly impressive.
I coached football for 6 years, 10, 11, and 12-year-olds, and those robots were more graceful than most of the fucking kids I coached, okay?
Like, yeah, 100%.
Those robots were, like, smooth with it, man. Backflipping off the goddamn pedestals. Yeah. Like, I was thoroughly impressed with just the mechanics. Whether the robot did it by programming or AI figuring out the best route, I could give a shit. Like, just the fact that that big-ass robot with that giant pack on its back that looks like it weighs 700 pounds was more nimble than my old ass is right now.
Yeah, that's a low bar to hit.
Ouch. Ouch.
All right, well, we'll end
on
that insult there.
Ken's sick burn, because he doesn't get him that often. Sick burn, bro. Sick burn.
Yeah, ending on that insult there, that's a week in news. Thanks for listening over here at episode 167. Yeah, you can go check out some of the articles and stuff over at the show notes at nerdcantina.com/show167. Just join us over at the group, though, and find us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Let's have some conversations, share some memes, talk some things, do that all the internet things.
Yeah, it's always a good time in the cantina. I don't think you'll be disappointed. Most people join the group, and they don't go anywhere. And if you're going to steal a meme, give us credit.
But with all that said, that's it. Until next week, nerds.
Say it.